Arizona, Sanderson Ford Country. Man, I've got my next car picked out, baby. I've had a standing request at Sanderson Ford. Hey, when you guys get a Mach-E in, that I could have the opportunity just to take around the block, I'd like to be given notification. So sure enough, they said, Rosie, Mach-E just delivered. Person that ordered it opted not to take delivery of it. It is, we've got a sold sign on it just until you can get here to test drive it. Oh, baby. That is my next car. That is my next daily driver, absolutely. And while I was there, I test drove it, took it around the block, and fell in love with the machine. And got a few tips on how to order one. And the guy I've been doing business with there, Jason, for about 15 years, said, Rosie, that last guy you referred to us, brought that old truck in to trade in. That guy was like a steel ball in a pinball machine. He said, well, what about the F-150? What about the Raptor? Well, what about the Bronco? Well, what about the Maverick? Well, what about the Mach-E? And he bounced between every single car we have here on the lot. We have no idea which one he's going to buy. But he test drove every single award-winning Ford vehicle parked on the lot. And you know what? In looking for a new car, you can hardly find a manufacturer that's got more headline-grabbing, award-winning vehicles than Ford. And why shop anywhere other than America's most award-winning Ford dealership in the entire country that's located right here in Arizona, in the Valley of the Sun, in Glendale, at 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale. 51st Avenue in Maryland is where you'll find Sanderson Ford. I can't tell you, literally, the hundreds of people I've referred there. And it never fails that they don't call me and say, Rosie, I cannot see myself ever buying a car anywhere else. If you want that kind of experience, buying the most award-winning line of American vehicles, get over to Sanderson Ford. They're open Monday through Saturday, all year long. Get over there and put my testimony to the test and see if you don't agree 100%. Sanderson Ford.
And as we went to the break, we were talking with Nancy from Sun City, who has galvanized plumbing, or cast iron plumbing, excuse me, that needs to be replaced. And Rosie was going to talk a little bit about the liner, but I would doubt they're going to try and line an old cast iron pipe Sun City that's 40 years old and has roots.
It all depends on the camera test. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk to Nancy about. This process of epoxy lining old pipes actually started in California when they were trying to reline water lines that were in under the city that were deteriorating. What they do is they run a camera and they try and assess the condition of the pipe. Can it be saved? Is it salvageable? If it is, they blast it clean as best they can, and then they put a balloon in there from one end to the other. They inflate the balloon, and it becomes an epoxy mold to the inside of your existing pipe. And if the pipe isn't cracked or crushed, it can probably be salvaged. It's amazing the camera footage I've seen of what you would guess could never be saved ends up being saved. Now, the warning I want to give you is that there are several services in town that provide it, okay? Be very careful. And I can tell you that we cover this topic enough that we get enough feedback in our office I can tell you who in town does it and is getting the most favorable reviews. It's actually a company in Gilbert or Chandler, and it's called Easy Flow Plumbing. They're on exactly the opposite side of town that you are, but they service the entire valley. And before I proceeded with this, I would get them because that's just pretty much what they do. They specialize in it. And I'd get a quote from them before I do anything. You have a quote right now. I'd get a quote from Easy Flow, and I'd go from there. Their number is 480-351-1820.
So what are the options then if that's not, if they're not a candidate? Like Romy said, they have tree roots or the thing has collapsed. And then they have to
Not a good option.
But then they have to replace
it. You have to literally go into your house, take all the plumbing fixtures off the floor, saw cut channels wherever the sewer pipe is, excavate it, get the old pipe out of there, put the new pipe in. And it's what we used to have to do 15 years ago. But with this process, it's worth examining. And I'll tell you how I found out about it. The way I find out about a lot of things here at Rosie on the House is we actually had a homeowner in Tucson call me and say, Rosie, we live on the side of a hill. The house is 70 years old. About 20 years ago, we put in a very extensive remodel that included some very expensive floor covering without replacing our sewer line. And now our sewer line is completely shot, and my wife refuses to allow anyone to saw cut her floor. And that homeowner is the one that introduced me to this technology. And they epoxy lined the entire sewer system under his house without having to touch the expensive floor covering.
Is that a product, that lining or the pipes, is that like common across the country or is that something unique kind of to Arizona that use that?
It is becoming in the last decade common across the country. It started, as far as I know, Romy, I think you did the original research on it. It started in Southern California.
Yeah. And there's a couple different ways that, you know, the one I originally saw, the pipes still needed to be in a good condition, but they do have the balloon one now I had forgotten about. And then there are some companies that if you've got room and access, instead of digging up underneath and saw cutting through your home, they'll just trench around your property. But the house has to be laid out right because you have to have drainage. And to bring it around the side of a house and out to the street doesn't always work. So the layout of the house, you know, if it's just right, we can trench on the outside and save a lot of cutting on the inside. But I would see, you know, in the perfect design, as, you know, these houses are hitting 40, 50 years old. Well, part of the problem is they don't build houses to last that long. You know, so with the houses that are going in today, you know, they're going to get taken down to nothing and then rebuilt. But, you know, a forever home, you'd find a better design style or situate your plumbing near your exterior, near where your drain outs would be.
And if you have an older home, you're thinking about remodeling and you're only thinking about all the, you know, floor coverings and countertops, it'd be worth it to really examine your plumbing system to make sure you could
definitely
loop that into the project.
If your home's 40, 50 years old and you're contemplating a remodel, send a camera down the drain line and get an assessment of what condition it's in. Nancy, I hope that helps. And I also hope that when you call them and get the second quote, you feel free to call me back and let's talk through both proposals. And I'll coach you through which one I would use at my own home. I'd like to go back to the topic of the day, neighborliness. And what do you do when you have a neighbor that doesn't want to comply with the neighborhood protocol of being a good neighbor? I would tell you, I'm addressing neighborhoods that don't have an HOA. If you have an HOA, of course, I think you know the rules. Just go to the HOA, file a complaint. We do get notices every once in a while of particular HOAs that are subjectively interpreting the laws or discriminating against the interpretation of the homeowner laws. I'm not going to deal with that. That's all legal. You gotta fight that one out yourself. But if you in a neighborhood without an HOA, I would tell you go to the city website first. And where you're going to want to go on the city site is to building services. And you're going to find an area in their building services department that is code compliance or code complaints. Start with the city and see if there's a way that you can get in there and address whatever code violation your neighbor may be guilty of. And then the city will, you'll be able to file the complaint anonymously. The homeowner will be notified they're in code violation and are being asked to bring it up to date. And there'll be a follow-through process there. If you don't live in an incorporated area, Maricopa County and Pima County have exactly the same thing. Go find the development services page on their website. That's where you're going to get an opportunity. Many of the websites actually include an area that you can register your complaint right there on the internet, and they receive it through digitally. So
some of those complaints would be anything from maybe a stagnant pool that's drawing in a lot of mosquitoes or bees or whatever, and then also barking dogs. There's a special
barking
phone
dogs.
Number for barking. Isn't that annoying when somebody's gone and their dog barks all the time? There's like a one-stop shop where you can go in many of them and just address all your issues. Cars that have been just left abandoned in a yard is also one of them. Weeds, drainage issues. We talked about that last week. Water, or trees. We talked about that. So any major issue you're having, you can file a code.
Code violations. Yeah. Maybe they've put an outbuilding in their backyard that violates the backyard or side yard setbacks. I'm thinking of one particular building I'm watching go up right now. I actually went to the city website to verify there was a building permit, and there is.
So
it's not violating anything.
Shoot.
But it is the tallest steel structure I've ever seen on a residential property, some kind of big steel shed that I thought was sure violating a side or a backyard setback.
Well, don't you hurt for the neighbors, too.
I mean,
it blocks
gosh.
The entire view to the mountains.
Man.
And let's back up from there. So what do you do to keep that from happening? To get
nothing
to have an influence on your city?
Nothing.
You can't go to like the council meetings. How about being involved in the all the way back to who you vote for?
If you wanted to get that involved, you'd actually have to initiate some kind of code modification. But what they're putting up is to code.
It's obscene.
I'm just glad I'm not their neighbor, I'll tell you that.
Sometimes codes are obscene.
Yeah, sometimes. So when it comes to dealing with an uncooperative neighbor, I just want you to know if you're hesitant to approach them, to visit with them about it, which is probably the best starting point, but some non-compliant neighbors aren't open to being approached. You do have some recourse to engage the code compliance department of your city or your county. And that's what they're there for. So in straightening up the neighborhood and trying to clean up things that need to be cleaned up, know that that's available to you. Jennifer was on a website in researching this where there was one city in particular that said a car parked unmoved for 2 weeks?
A car in disrepair or not able to run, so like a junkyard, like somebody who's making their yard that just collects old cars and they sit there. So I don't know. I have seen a lot of that, so I don't know how they get around that. Maybe they just keep the rest of the yard clean, but, maybe the neighbors don't complain.
Maybe they don't. But I was surprised how short the window was in that particular city. It was like if it hadn't moved in 2 weeks, then it's a code violation.
Mm-hmm.
So use those resources to help you in creating a more pleasant neighborhood and community environment.